Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we're continuing the Sermon on the Mount. It's very structured. It's got a lot of patterns in it, and we saw one of those in the last part of chapter 5, where he says, "You have heard certain things, but I say this unto you," and so he corrects some misconceptions. Then in chapter 6, there's another group of things here in these first few verses. And if you look, I'll show you some of these words that just jump out again and again. He says at the end of verse 2, they have their reward. Oh, I missed verse 1. He says, otherwise you have no reward. He says at the end of verse 4, in secret himself shall reward. He says at the end of verse 5, they have their reward. At the end of verse 6, they shall be rewarded. So there's some things here that God's going to reward. Then he says over and over again, he starts out, he says, take heed. But he says in verse 1, do not. And he tells us some things not to do. In verse 2, do not. He mentions that over and over again. In verse 5, he says, thou shalt not. And then, of course, in verse 7, he says, use not. So there's some things you shouldn't do, and there's some rewards to be had when you're obedient to that. But then the other word that jumps out at me is in verse 2, 5, and 7 is the word when. If I was to say to my children, when you brush your teeth, I am assuming that they know to brush their teeth. Amen? There are some things that God expects us to do. These are not things if you do them. These are things when you do them. And there are three of them. The first one is, he uses the phrase in verse 1 to alms is the word, A-L-M-S, or giving, and it's a certain kind of giving there. And then in verse 5, he mentions prayer, and then in verse 7, prayer once again. So there's really two subjects there. The second one, divided into two parts, is how we give and how we pray. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read this passage and have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at a message entitled, It's a Secret. It's a Secret. The Bible says in Matthew 6 and verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the time we have. Please, God, open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to the things you want us to see tonight. These may be very familiar verses, may be very familiar concepts, but they're very important ones. And rewards are at stake. The reason we do things is frequently mentioned here. And God, I pray that each one of us would understand that we do not and should not and cannot do things simply so men will see us and think something about us, but Lord God, please help us to do what we do for your sake and for you, even when nobody sees. Help us to understand that you watch everything that we do, and when we do things in secret, there is an open reward. Lord, help us tonight as we spend this next few minutes in the Bible, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I cannot remember any time in my life that I received a cash reward for much of anything. The one thing that really jumps out at me, there was a fellow in our church in Salt Lake City. His name was Patrick McGeehan. He's with the Lord now. And Patrick McGeehan, a member of our church, decided he wanted to sell vacuum cleaners. There is actually one of the vacuum cleaners like he sold. I think it's up in the attic right now. Somebody donated it a while back. It's a rainbow. Oh, you're laughing about that. Did you buy one? Oh, you sold rainbow. Well, let me think of a different illustration then, because no, it's okay. It was a good vacuum cleaner. I didn't buy one, but he came to my house and he said, Pastor, he said, I want to use you to practice doing my demonstration. So he wanted to come to my house and we were, folks, that's an hour and a half of my time. I'm in the ministry. I'm a youth pastor. I'm busy. And I thought, okay, I'll do this for you. You're a fellow believer, and I want to be a blessing to you. Come on over. So he came over. He went through the whole spiel. And how long did it take? About an hour and a half, something like that, Brother Gonzalez? Yeah. He said, here's the good news. He said, every week we enter all of the people that see the demonstration that week. We put them into a raffle, and if you win the raffle, you get $50. And I did. And I thought to myself, the first thing I thought was, God is rewarding me for putting up with this fella for an hour and a half. And then I realized, no, they probably rigged the raffles. Probably what happened. But doesn't God take good care of us? You can't even imagine what's going to happen when you step into eternity. The Bible says you can't give somebody a cup of cold water and not be rewarded for it if you do that in the name of the Lord. And how much water do we give out in Phoenix? We're going to give a bunch of cups of cold water out here at the end of May, beginning of June, in Vacation Bible School. There are some ladies here that have taken it upon themselves for years and years to work with the refreshments and the treats and the snacks for Vacation Bible School. And I can still see that table in my mind. There's going to be a big table out there, and it's going to be lined up with cups of cold water. Those little children are going to come off of the playground after their game time, and they're going to grab that water and drink it and throw that cup in the trash can. And every one of those cups of water is a little bit of a reward, or going to receive a reward. The Bible says so. You can't imagine. Now, it is possible that you might do things to prevent a reward. That's what he says here. I love to make people happy. I love to make children happy. It's really challenging in Vacation Bible School. We were talking about this last week. We're going to have teams. The astronauts and the, I don't know. We're going to have teams in Vacation Bible School, the red team, the blue team, or whatever. And I love to see a team win and get a prize. It does really break my heart. There will be some little child, and the same faces I see getting on the bus this morning, little children with a sweet little face, just innocent. The life that they lead in the homes they're in sometimes is sad. And they get on the bus, and they're going to be at Vacation Bible School. I want them all to win. Folks, it's a blessing to be a blessing to a little child. If I can say it right without, I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's a blessing to God when he rewards us. He feels the same way about us. He loves us, and he wants what's best for us, and he wants to make us happy, and he wants to reward us. So what you got here is some warnings, and you got to be careful, because the devil is going to try to get you to overlook this, or he's going to try to get you into a pattern that's very, very dangerous that can cost you your reward. Well, let's just go through these piece by piece. We won't take an awful lot of time, but let's start back in verse 1. He begins that verse and he says, take heed. And that phrase, take heed, says, pay attention. This is important. This is something you need to listen to. Oftentimes we don't remember things. We don't dedicate ourselves to things. He says, no, you need to take heed. This is something that's important. And he says, that ye do not your alms, now watch this, before men. He mentions in verse 4, do them in secret. He says in verse 5, he says, when you pray, he says at the end of that verse, that they may be seen of men. Don't do that. And he mentions that another time in this passage. Folks, it's really important to understand something. We're not here doing what we do. We're not serving God. We're not giving. We're not praying so that somebody will think we're a great person. It's for the Lord. Only for the Lord. You have this thing today. It is sad. When we were in Maryland, about 30 or 40 miles away from that church that Mike Creed, that church he was talking about in his letter, and when Mark read the letter a while ago there in Clinton, which was south of us, we used to beat them at soccer, didn't we, Mrs. Schaefer? And we played soccer and basketball with them. They had a pretty good basketball team, but we had a pretty good soccer team. Anyway, we were out there for about 10 or 15 years, and we were there in the time period when social media went from nothing to everything. I can date myself here. I remember in our Christian school meetings that we had with the other schools in the state talking about MySpace. You forgot about MySpace a long time ago. And we recognized way back then, this stuff's a problem. If you think about it, it's pretty obvious. The whole purpose of social media is look at me. Look at me. Look at me. People, little children, young people, teenagers are taking their own lives because of these kind of things. Because people are not looking at them or bullying them or mistreating them or whatever. It is a very natural thing for us to want people to like us. It's a very natural thing for us to want to be impressive looking, perhaps, or impressive acting, or impressive in our performance. And folks, be careful if that begins to drive you. If you're one of those people that gets caught up in the look at me, look at me, look how good I look how good I am, look what I do, look how I perform, and you start to get to focus on men, you're walking away from your rewards. Because the thing we ought to be doing is saying, even though men don't like it, I don't care about pleasing men. I want to please God. The beginning of this is talking about alms. And when you see the word alms, it's not just offerings he's talking about there. Alms are things that are given generally to relieve the poor. Money, food, clothing, and that sort of thing. Webster's 1828 kind of leans it that direction. It comes from a word that means to show mercy. This is not tithing or faith promise missions giving. It is giving to help somebody out. And isn't it true that if you gave some money to some poor people, a lot of the time nobody knows but the poor person? I know that there are some folks in our church that have helped Brenda White an awful lot. And different ones. I can start naming names. I'm not going to do that. Did you do what you did because you wanted to please God or because you wanted men to see you? That's the question. And I'd like to think that, give us all the benefit of the doubt, I think we're on the right track here. Folks, we do what we do because it pleases God. I heard a great message, and I've talked to you about this before, so I'll be brief. I heard a great message preached in Idaho one time at a pastor's meeting, and this fellow was talking about the pillars in the temple and how at the top of those pillars there was some detailed work done 30 feet up in the air, 40 feet, 50 feet up in the air. Somebody had taken the time to carve very intricate carvings up there on those pillars, but the trouble is nobody could see it because it's 50 feet up in the air. Oh, I didn't say that right. God can see it. I sit in my office and prepare Sunday school lesson, message, high school Bible class or whatever. Nobody really sees it. No, I said that wrong. God sees it. Some folks came out and they go door to door and nobody saw them do it. No, wait a minute. God saw. You may not be acknowledged by men. I was talking to Penny. We took Penny back to the airport the other day, and we were talking about Grand Island, Nebraska. And I've told her this story twice. You may have heard it. But when we were going from Utah to Maryland, we stopped there. And there was this old pastor in an old church. I don't think the church building was half the size of this one. It was packed out. And I was worried about this fellow. I wasn't sure he was going to make it up the steps to the platform. He was that old. And he got up and he preached. And he had 40 people there maybe. I don't know. And I thought to myself, these are the kind of people God's going to reward. You never read any books that man wrote? There's a lot of people that have made a lot of money and a lot of fame writing books. You don't even know who this guy is. He never wrote a book. He never was a famous evangelist. He never had his own jet. He never traveled around the country preaching a prosperity gospel. Praise the Lord. He was just faithful to God where God put him. Now, here's the good news. First of all, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. So turn that around. You say, Pastor, God didn't give me so much. Then he doesn't require quite so much. But do the best you can with what you got. And you can receive the same reward as the fellow that's got a huge following and a huge church and a huge ministry. And he's done great things because God gave him more than he gave you. The reward is not based upon the size of the ministry. It's based upon the size of the heart. Amen? You say, Pastor, I helped somebody and they didn't appreciate it. They never said thank you and nobody else even knew I did it. Yes, God knew. I always remember that. God saw. So he says, don't give like, and I use the word hypocrite, but I'm a little premature on that. Just don't give to be seen. He says, don't give to be seen of them in verse 1. Don't give to receive the glory of men in verse 2. Now, this is kind of sad. Somebody says, well, you know, I did some really great things for some people, and I want everybody to know it so they'll think I'm a good person. The Lord says, okay, that's your reward. Was it worth it? I'm glad you helped somebody. I would rather step into the presence of Christ and be rewarded by him, wouldn't you? I would rather be rewarded by him than have somebody pat me on the back. You know, some folks are going to pat you on the back, and that's fine if they choose to do that. But you're not going to please all the people all the time. And if you try to, you got a big problem. Because you're going to find out some people cannot be pleased, for one thing. So he says, don't give your alms to be seen. Don't do things so that men can see them. He says in verse 3, when, there's that word again, thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That's just a humorous little euphemism that we use. It's, you're really being quiet about it. You know, you're just going about doing what you do. You help somebody. You haven't got to tell anybody. I used to, when I was in Maryland, I used to, at Christmas time, I'd carry around. Remember when there's a $1 coin they came out with there for a while. It's kind of gone away. They keep trying and failing, but you could go to the bank and you could get a roll of those things. I think it was $50 for a roll of those things. And I'd carry those around and I'd give them out to people sometimes at Christmas time as a tip. Or I'd be in a restaurant, and one of my favorite things to do out there, I haven't been able to do it here in a long time, was there was a restaurant near the church, and it was a kind of a mom and pop sort of a salad place, and they had sandwiches and some things like that. And a really good Caesar salad with anchovies on it. You got to have anchovies in a Caesar salad. But anyway, I'd go in there sometimes to be eating lunch, and a couple of policemen would come in. And I kind of knew the guy that ran the place, and I'd go up there, and I'd tell him and say, let me pay for these guys' meal. It was $8 or $10. I wouldn't let them know. And I thought that was kind of neat. I'd be watching them, and they're thinking, who did this? They're looking around the room. And I'm getting the blessing of being a blessing to them. And I'll just tell you, you never miss that money. You ever been kind to somebody with some money? Have you noticed how that you never miss it? That's part of the reward, I think. But you haven't got to tell people what you do. You haven't got to make it like, you know, I did this so people can see me. You don't do it for that reason. No. He says, when you do them, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Look at verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret. And then watch this. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. It doesn't say, oh, this might be a good thing, or oh, you might. No, God will reward you. We do not do things because of what we get. If you serve God because of what you get, you'll burn out. Serve God because you love Him. He's going to reward you because He loves you. But He wants you to do things with Him in mind and not men in mind. So be very careful. You say, you know, I got a new suit and I want people to see how good it looks. Well, you know what? Let God see how good it looks. I knew a fellow that had a bus ministry at Fairhaven up in Indiana. And he came to our church in Utah over 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And he was going to be a missionary to Mexico. And he was telling us when he was in college how little money he had. And he would work on the bus ministry. And he said he'd get off the bus. And these little children wanted to hug him. But these little children they'd been eating candy. And their hands were sticky. And they'd have something on their clothes. And he didn't want to get his suit dirty. He didn't have enough money to get it clean. He didn't want to look like he had a dirty suit on. And then it occurred to him, it's more important for me to hug these kids than to have a clean suit. Someone looked at him and said, what's the matter with you? Can't you clean your suit? Well, A, no. And B, the reason I'm that way is because I hugged a little child because I love them and I want them to get saved and I want them to know that I care about them and they come back on the bus again and so on. And that's exactly what this is about. You do what you do, not because of how it makes you look or keep you from looking, but because of the love of God. So the alms, they're done in secret. And God's going to, He shall reward you openly. Now, we'll spend the rest of the time tonight and the time next Sunday night on the subject of prayer. And so let's look at verse 5. He says, when thou prayest, not if, when. I hope it's a lot. Amen? Amen. We need more prayer. Prayer is one of those things you can never have too much of. Prayer is one of those things you can have too little of. Prayer is one of those things that above all else, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, even though He was God, to show us His humanity, He'd pray all night. Someone says, what would I pray about? The young people in Utah asked me one time, what do you pray about? I don't know how to explain it exactly, but when you start talking to the Lord and you got a list of needs, it's not too hard to talk for a while. Heard a fellow one time, there was this fellow, he was an evangelist. This would have been 30 years ago, probably in Texas. And he came to the church and preached on a Sunday, did a great job in the morning. And that night, he said, I'm going to teach you folks how to pray. And he said, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to pray about our country. And he started praying, and he started in Seattle, and he prayed for Seattle, and then he prayed for Tacoma, and then he prayed for Portland, and then he prayed for... And he did that for a good 40 minutes. That's fine. About halfway through, I needed to go to the restroom, and I got up, and I was walking by the nursery, and I overheard the ladies talking. And, you know, the big question in the nursery always is the service about to end, right? Because these kids are, you know, well, okay, please, let the service end. And so it was about 20 minutes into the service, and I walked by the nursery, and one lady says to the other lady, they're almost finished. He's already praying. Yeah, he prayed another 45 minutes before he finished. I don't know that that's the right thing to do. I'm not my job to judge the man, but I think that when you talk to the Lord in private, you can talk to Him for a long time, can't you? A lot of things to pray about. Pray for one another. Pray for our nation. The Bible gives us lots of instructions of how to pray. So He says, when thou prayest, verse 5, He says, thou shalt not. That's pretty strong. Be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Here we go. That they may be seen of men. There's that common theme in this passage. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now let's just stop right there and talk about something. It is fine and it is important that we have what we call corporate prayer, which is in our church, someone will stand up and pray. I've prayed a couple of times tonight. At the end of the service, somebody will pray. And we pray on behalf of the congregation and we bring our petitions to the Lord. That's fine. But that's not the only time we should pray. And when you pray, you're not doing it so men can see you. This is a complicated subject. I've heard some people that really, really seem to me, when they pray in public, were more interested in impressing the people than talking to God. Folks, when you pray, just talk to God. Ever had a person recently, I had a fellow say to me, I don't know how to pray. And I told him, it's simple, just talk to God. Hey, it's not an irreverent thing. There's a right way to do it. It's not that we take God for granted, and there is a way to approach him. I have no problem. In fact, I often do it. I think you should kneel in prayer. I think you should pray in private. I think you should pray in a place where no one knows what you're praying. It's what he says right here. But talk to God. And he hears. And it doesn't matter if anybody else hears. In fact, I hope nobody else hears, but he hears. That's what matters. These fellows, once again, you can see, you know, the word hypocrite is an actor. They're two-faced. They're one thing in public, another thing in private. And in particular, in public, they're doing everything they can to look impressive and religious and pious and holy and important. And in private, they could care less. I hope we're just not that way. So he says, they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Why? Because people see them. The corners of the streets, you know, the street corners where folks assemble, that they may be seen of men. Okay, they have their reward. That's what you get. Folks, we need for God to answer our prayers. We need for God to use us when we pray. I think Wednesday night service is an incredibly important service because we come here and we pray for people that need our prayers desperately. We, in this congregation, each of us have needs. We need for God to help us, but there are other folks that we pray for. And folks, God, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you pray believing, you will receive. The Bible's very clear. Ask and you shall receive. So we do not come here and pray so that people will think something about us. We pray so that God can hear us. So he tells us how to do that in verse 6. He says, but thou, and this is the first part of this, we'll finish it next Sunday night, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. All right. I have had people tell me, you got to go to the closet to pray. And because they're taking the Bible very literally, and if that's what they think they need to do, that's fine. I do think you can pray in a prayer room, although that can be called a closet, I guess. You can pray in an office. You can pray in a bedroom. Or you can pray in a lot of places. We prayed on the bus this morning, didn't we, Carlos? But when you pray, this kind of prayer he's talking about is between you and God. That's the point. It is important, and I'll be brief about this, but in the morning it is important that you have a way to be away from people when you read your Bible and pray that you're not disturbed. I remember the days when we had children, and that can be challenging in a house full of children when school day is in effect and you're trying to get everything ready to go. But the point is, we don't pray so that men hear us. In fact, we pray so that men don't hear us. And I'll say this to you, if you're praying about something, maybe there's a certain special need that you have, and it's between you and the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to tell folks what you're praying about. Just tell God. So it's okay to share things with us, and we understand that. But sometimes I'll think to myself, no, I'm just going to tell God what I'm praying about. And I get a little nervous sometimes when I tell you folks what I'm praying about. It's not really between you and me. It's between me and God. Amen? He says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, shut the door. Oh, I like this. Pray to thy Father. Oh, here we go. Who do you pray to? Right there. Pray to your Father. Oh, what about Jesus? Got good news for you. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. One of the disciples said, Lord, if we could see the Father, that'd be great. Show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said to him, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But I want you to know the Trinity may be a little bit more complicated than we're able to comprehend. But the fact of the matter is, he says, pray to your Father. And if you look at the prayer we're going to see next week, right after this, he says, our Father which art in heaven. So we pray to God the Father. You're not leaving Jesus out because Jesus is God the Father. You're not leaving the Holy Spirit out because the Holy Spirit is God. But he says, pray to the Father. So if you're worried about that, if you pray to Jesus, is God going to hear you? Of course he is. And I've had people say, well, you shouldn't pray to the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on. But at the same time, he does say, pray to the Father. And by the way, he's our Father. First two songs we sang this morning talking about we're his children. If one of the children in this neighborhood comes to my house and says, hey, I'd like a popsicle, I would say to myself, okay, I got a lot of popsicles. I've got typically 4 or 5 packs of popsicles in my freezer. That's one of my great weaknesses since I can't have ice cream anymore. And so I keep popsicles in the freezer. I'd probably go get him a popsicle. But I'd be thinking to myself, who do you think you are? Knocking on my door asking for a popsicle. Oh, you're not my child. Go talk to your parents about a popsicle. But if one of my children asked for something, that's different, isn't it? If my son called me tonight at midnight and said, Dad, I got a problem. Can you come help? I'm there. Might not do that for just anybody. I'd do it for my children. Folks, God's your Father. He loves you that way. He sees you that way. You say, I don't deserve that. Oh, I know that. I don't either. But he's your Father. Talk to him. In fact, I would be hurt. My son came over today for lunch and he said, I got a problem at my house, an electrical problem. I'm trying to fix some outlets and I can't get them fixed. And I said, I'll help you. I want to help him. It gives me blessings. It blesses me to be a blessing to him. It's the same way with God. So don't hesitate to ask. Ask. If you don't ask, in a way, that's kind of an affront to God. It's kind of putting him down a little bit. No, we have a Father. Let's go to him. Amen? He says, thy Father, which is in secret. There's that word again. He says, thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. That's the second time he said that. Shall reward thee openly. That's interesting. Someone says, I want people to see me give. I want people to see me pray. I want people to be impressed with what I do. You have your reward. Someone else says, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to be quiet about it. I'm going to just do it so that God knows. Interesting. Openly, you know what that means? People are going to see it. The folks that want to be seen lose their reward. The folks that want to please God get seen openly. Folks, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every one of us can give an account of the things done in this body. And there will be rewards, and we'll all be there. I've always wondered how that's going to work. Is there going to be a long line, or what's going to happen? But you're going to get to see your fellow church members rewarded for their service to God. It's going to be an open reward. God's going to say, I reward you for these things that you did in this body. We're going to receive a reward. And I can't talk about it tonight, but the Bible says you can lose your reward as well. But he says in verse 7, finally, we're done. This is interesting. It's important. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. That's interesting to me. You know, the Catholic Church came up. You've heard of the Reformation. Martin Luther tacked the 95 Theses in the door of the church at Wittenberg, and the Catholic Church split, and it became the Reformed Church, which is just the Catholic Church with the name taken off, and they believe about the same thing. But the Catholic Church was getting worried because they were losing business, and so they had the Counter-Reformation. And one of the things they came up with for the Counter-Reformation is a thing called the Rosary. Anybody here ever done that? All right, amen. I don't know what to say, don't want to know, but you say it over and over, don't you? And what they're doing, by the way, it's a method of indoctrination. When you say things over and over and over, they stick in your head. Kind of like some of the commercials you've heard on TV so many times, you've got them memorized. Indoctrination. Folks, that's not why God hears us. In fact, think about that. I think about my son again. If my son came to me and said, Dad, would you help me fix my electricity? Yep. Hey, Dad, would you help me fix my electricity? I said I would. Hey, Dad, would you know, that's just insulting, isn't it? Hey, folks, does God hear? Amen. You say, now there is, don't miss this, there is a thing called importunity where you keep on asking until you get what you want. But God does not have a bad hearing, and God doesn't need to hear it 20 times or 50 times or 100 times. Just tell him what you need. He says, don't use vain. The word vain means it's not any good. It's empty. It's worthless. It has no value. Don't use vain repetitions. The heathen do that. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. In other words, just don't do it that way. This is really strong. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. Now, when you get there to the end of verse 8, there is a last phrase, before ye ask him, he knows that. Folks, God knows everything. Someone says, why do I have to pray? Doesn't God know? Well, yes, God does know, but we have to pray because God said to pray. And here's the thing. God doesn't need your prayers, but you need your prayers. Stephen Harris started a church in Bullhead City, Arizona. And we would bring our youth group from Salt Lake City down there every year. We'd travel on a Friday. We'd be with him on Saturday, and on Sunday we'd drive back on Monday. And we had a dual motive there. We wanted to be a blessing to him and get out of the cold, because we'd leave Salt Lake City, it'd be 20 degrees. We'd get down there, it'd be 80. And we'd go out and door hangers all over the city, put door hangers out, and then we'd go to the services, and we'd sing, and we had a girl that could play the piano, and we had a really good time with that in our youth group and did it over and over year after year. And we went down there one year, and we were knocking doors on Saturday, and we came across some people, and you could just tell they needed the Lord, that their life was a mess. You know, when your life's a mess, like I said this morning, God can fix that up. Yes, he can make a difference. Say, Pastor, you don't know my problems. I don't need to. God does. Now, well, they're big problems. God's big. So there was this family I just knew. I thought, you know, these folks really need to be in church tomorrow. And I started praying that they'd be there the next day. And so the next day we went to the church service, and it was a good turnout. And I was sitting pretty far to the back of the room, and it wasn't many seats left. And I'm sitting back in the back, and they're not there. And I started praying, Lord, I've been asking you to bring these folks to church today. Please bring them to church. And I kept on praying, and we sang a song, and I prayed some more. And guess who walked in the door? And that was a blessing to me. Amen?
Amen.
If I pray, Lord, bless the missionaries. That's good. I hope God does. If I pray, Lord, keep Stephen Harris safe this week and give him a great service on Sunday. And then Stephen Harris will contact me and say, hey, we had a great service on Sunday. You know what I know? God answered my prayer. Because God knew what we needed. He doesn't need our prayers. We need our prayers. Try this. If you have a prayer journal, you know what I mean. If you don't, try this. Get a notebook, anything. It doesn't matter. Something you can write in every day, calendar or whatever. And jot down the things you're praying about. Jot down four or five things you're praying about. Things that are really on your heart that God's laid on your heart. And we've been praying, for example, the Minnemeyers are going to be in Ohio here for the next few months, and we need some help to be ushers. We need some ushering help and someone to fill the gap there. And I've been praying about that. God answered that prayer today. Amen? So the pastor in Utah taught me this, where he'd write these things down in his prayer journal, and then when God would answer a prayer, he was more diligent than I. I put a check mark there. He would write amen. And he'd write amen, 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 amen by the things God answered. And he said, what's handy is if I ever get discouraged, I can go back and look at my prayer journal from 6 months before, and I can see the things that I was struggling with, concerned about, the things that were burdens on my heart. And then I see amen, amen, amen. And I remember God answers prayer. Amen? He hears in secret and he rewards openly. It's not that God needs a prayer journal, but we do. How's your prayer life? Your prayer life is not so that people can see you. Your prayer life is because you have a Father in heaven that wants to hear from you and wants to meet your needs. So the emphasis here begins with that thought of rewards. God wants to reward us, and he can and he will. He said, he shall reward thee, shall reward thee. Says that a couple of times. But some things we shouldn't do, do not. Some things we should do, when, and some way we should do it. And he uses that word a couple of times as well, in secret. But we already said this a couple of times. There really aren't any secrets, are there? The only people that it's secret with are people around you. It's never secret with God. Amen? Say, nobody saw what I did. Somebody saw. Nobody appreciates it. Somebody appreciates it. If you're doing things for what you get, if you're doing things to be seen, you're going to burn out. If you're doing them because you love the Lord, you can just keep on going. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.